Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
And thank you for all. Thank you all for making the board meeting. Today's Thursday, June 27th already, and it is 6:11. I'm going to call our public board meeting to order. Don't have any public comments or participants here. Do we have any recorded, Secretary?
We do not.
None recorded. So we'll move through and begin with our roll call. And I'll start myself and work our way to the left. Dwayne Sims.
Antoine
Andrew.
Courtney
Pop.
Jen Donahue.
Zeke Allenson.
Sarah Staff.
Becky
Phillips.
James Alamo.
Megan Newberry.
Excellent. Thank you very much, everyone, again for coming. And we'll work through our agenda. As you know, the our secretary has distributed the full board package in advance of tonight's meeting. So we'll start with our first agenda item, which is the approval of the May 30th, 2019 public board minutes. And I trust that everyone has had an opportunity to review, but even if not, we always like to take at least a minute to do so. And then I'll entertain a motion to approve, and then I'll ask for any questions, comments, or concerns, and then we'll go through with our motion.
Just one note, while everyone's reviewing, there will be an update to the title of the public meeting minutes to include annual meeting and board of director meeting minutes, just to clarify that that also records the annual meeting information as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Megan. That's duly noted. We appreciate that. So again, I think just going to entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes of May 30th, 2019.
Janine Salamone, thank you. Second. Second, Becky Phillips. Any questions or comments, concerns around the minutes as presented with the notation per our secretary to include annual meeting as well? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much, everyone. I will dive right into our committee report. At this particular time, as you see on our agenda, we have the sole report for today is going to be finance from treasurer, approval of our monthly narrative web report. I'll turn it over to our fabulous treasurer, Mr. Zeke Allenson.
So thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, Noreen. So we're 91.67% through the school year at the end of May. And things are looking good. There's not any significant problem that I'm seeing in the budget. We got revenues in for this school year that were roughly $200,000 more than what we predicted when we adopted the formal budget. I'm not sure when that was. Was that like in January? Can't remember exactly.
I'm not sure.
And we've spent about $200,000 more. So that's we're still projecting to have a surplus at the end of the year of $434,000, and assuming that both of our contingency funds are untapped by the end of the year, that becomes $578,000, and that also allows us to increase our total reserves, which are now at almost $800,000, and we'll be increasing the maintenance by $25,000, and we'll be increasing the summer pay by $170,000. So we're going to be like just about $2 million in this reserve fund. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
there are specific questions, just so you know, that our expenses are tracking at 90.08%, and we're 91.67% through, so we're still tracking under budget overall for our expenses thus far. And then if anyone else has questions or comments, that's all I have.
Just really quickly, Zeke, total reserves are still restricted funds, as we understand. I know there was a question, I think, in the last board meeting around that was raised about if we needed to, were we able to access those reserve funds or not. Was that question ever resolved as well?
I don't think it's been resolved. I mean, obviously, the maintenance and building reserve is our own
discretion.
The summer pay reserve is required by the state. Mm-hmm. Whether we could access it on a short-term basis if we had to, I don't know, and that's I'm not even sure how we would figure that out.
Right.
Who we would ask.
Maybe that's is that Courtney, what's your thought on that? Is that just a quick question to
Karen? We asked Karen about
Karen
the summer
and
pay
Dia?
Reserve and okay. accessing that in the past, and it's not if it was a very short term, yes, but it has to show up in our. I think her response was, and I can go back and look at the email, but that we can do it in a very short term, but that it's not ideal, or it would definitely raise a lot of red flags.
Okay, good. All right. That's the gist of it.
That sounds
right?
About right.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good. Just wanted to make sure for the record, because I know it came up before, so at least we addressed it on record as well. Thank you.
I know I always ask this, but is the contingency reserve, the 2%, is that reflected in either of these numbers on the web report? Or is that another line?
When you say on either of these two numbers?
Is it part of the 578? I don't think it's part of the 797.
So if you're looking at, are you looking at this part of the, this is the actual web report, just this one page.
Oh, I was just looking at the narrative. But.
Yeah, the narrative and this one page are okay. All that go on the web. And it's shown down here as contingency, $144,000.
Okay.
This other operating contingency of $25,000 is just a little contingency we've set up. So without those two, we're trending at a surplus of $434,000. With those two, we're projecting a surplus of 578.
Okay, so it's in the 578.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Courtney, just a quick question on computer supplies.
Yeah, there was a recode from our meeting last week. I got a problem on why that one didn't just happen.
Okay, so this number is to be adjusted.
Yeah, I'm actually texting Liz too, because I'm like, where is this? And we talked about a recode. There's an error there.
Okay, great.
So I will follow up on that one later.
Thank you very much.
The other ones that are trending high mostly are around like substitutes and EFER, mm-hmm. and there's two different substitute lines in EFER are all really high. And one of the things that we did not account for in our budget that is going to be an impact is the new state parental leave policy. So now it's paid leave as of April 1st when teachers go out. So we were covering substitutes and salary, which in the past we've been able to offset. You're not paying people the full time, missing salary. That's not accounted for in our planning this year. Way back in 6 months when we did the budget, so we'll be able to account for that a little bit differently. But that's what accounts for those numbers being higher.
Thank
These
you.
These are the kind of other big red flags that I noticed on here.
Then I guess on the other side of that coin is going to be something like cafeteria funds that's come in at 75%. Didn't that usually typically run high on the?
It's a wash.
Bit of an anomaly.
In the same out.
Yeah. I was just wondering, at 75%, 11 months in, and it usually being a wash, give or take, it's particularly low, I thought. But maybe not.
It's probably low going out, too, though. Let me see where we are in terms of paying it out, too. We also don't have May and June's incoming in yet.
Oh.
Where we paid out.
Okay. That's probably
a little bit of revenue coming in there on those.
Okay. Got it. That was
so
the only question.
A little closer.
Perfect. Thank you. That was the only questions I have. Any other questions or concerns?
I actually had one now that you mentioned it. Yep. The student body activity looks like we're running over budget by like 27,000. Is that something to be concerned about? Or?
So student body activity is anything that we, any after school clubs, any summer camps, any field trips. I mean, we run, taking 60 kids to the beach, it's a big, we have a lot of money that comes in for that. We also spend that out. So it's a wash item as well. It's not something that we benefit from whatsoever. So student body activity, we do not make money off of. So if we bring more in, it just means that trips cost more that year and we did more trips or different trips.
And where do we show the revenues from that?
Yep, I'm thinking I'm going to pull for you. It's under school activities.
Okay, thanks.
So one is a little bit higher. We do make a small amount off of like clubs and camps, but we do not make any money off of field trips.
Thank you. So I guess if there are no further questions, I would ask for someone to make a motion that we adopt the narrative and the web report and authorize head of school to post them on the web.
So moved. Second.
Second.
Excellent. And we'll take a vote. All those in favor, that was, by the way, for the record, that's Jed Donahue, motion, Janine Salomon in the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? None noted. Motion carries. Thank you, Zeke. We appreciate the presentation. And thank you, Courtney, as well. We'll dive, actually, great transition, dive right into our head of school report and turn it over to you. It's Courtney Fox.
I'm going to send these around. So in June, previously I've been asked to do a update on staff and student retention. So I have pulled together the numbers around what we know right now, and I've added them on to previous years so you can see, we can see the historical and the trends and that kind of stuff. And to our best knowledge, we've tried to account for the rationale, which I know has been a question in the past on why people are leaving or what people are between students and teachers. So the first page is our teacher retention. There's an error on that 1718 where it says 9%. I gotta pull that back up. That's an error. It's actually
90.
Right?
That should be 90.
So it's actually
right?
89. Oh, 89. Because of the bottom 89, right? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, let me pull those and make sure that those are right. So again, we're sitting at high 80s, low 90s, consistently around staff retention. And again, kind of the notation around why, what we know around what people are leaving. This year has been our most consistent in terms of classroom staff remaining. We have not lost any classroom teachers this year. It's more people in some of the important kind of ancillary positions that have made some different life changes.
If I can interrupt just a moment, Courtney,
yeah.
And take a moment to acknowledge our fellow board member Lauren Holland is now present as well. Thanks for coming, Lauren. Courtney, please do continue.
Yep. The next page is again staff growth, just so you can see with as we're expanding where our different services continue to kind of grow. You'll see that as we move into next year, we add a classroom at the 4-5-6 level, so we add classroom teachers there. We also had a middle school classroom, and then in addition, we all are growing our special ed team, so you'll see some additions there as well. But everything else is pretty consistent. So we land next year around probably closer to 600 kids, with about that number right around 70 per staff.
And the growth in special ed, is that guided by our units?
Yes. It's guided by our student needs.
Yeah.
Yep, so based on how many minutes kids require, how big their groups can be, the ability to service them at a high level, it all depends on that.
Thanks.
enrollment for, sorry, I should say 1920 school year. It happens when I keep filling off of last year's shitty places. So enrollment for the upcoming school year, you can see the numbers of where kids are returning and what we know about them for the coming year. Again, our biggest place that we're losing kids is that 5th to 6th grade jump. It's always kind of been historically there. However, honestly, like when you look at why kids are leaving this year, 5 of the 11 are moving out of state. I think it's actually an anomaly. Like we have so many kids across the board. We have so many kids moving out of state. Interestingly enough, so while that number is really high, it's a little bit.
45% of it is.
Yeah. Very few kids are returning to their feeder pattern. Some are returning to their feeder pattern for different reasons. If they've told us it's because of the distance, we've put that in. If they've just told us that they're returning back, we've just left it as that. So anything that we know, we've tried to put it back in. And if you look at the next page, you'll see kind of an overall information around that. So our retention over the past couple years, and then it talks about, like I said, the information about these kids from last year to this year. So again, 9 out of the 31 are moving out of state. If you pull those out, our retention's over 96%, which is huge. 5th to 6th grade, again, continues to be, but I said that around a lot of kids moving. And then if you're wondering what that means by special programs as a reason for leaving, these are kids that are either going to CAB, the gifted program, Conrad, or the Intensive Learning Center. So they're leaving for a specialized reason. And again, smaller numbers around those as well. Then I also added in a piece here for the board around our 8th graders that are leaving for high school, just so you have a sense of what that looks like as well.
These are 8th graders. They've graduated.
Yes.
This is our graduating class.
Yep.
Okay. Just one.
So you can see, you know, there's 18 of them. So the numbers, again, are a little bit, one kid skews a percentage pretty quickly, but over 60% are remaining in the public school system. That would be 11 of them, and we have seven that are attending private school.
Can we go back to the previous? Page just for a moment and take a look at that waiting list, right? So it's pretty impressive. It's 660. Doesn't take much to realize that. 266. I wanted to ask though just about the waiting, the way it's weighted and spread out across all our grades here, and just to get your thoughts on that. I think I know what it is just based on our conversations over the years and how we want to grow the program organically, but I think it's worth speaking to formally just your thoughts on how this was weighted for the total 660 and what that means for our school now and maybe even in the future, right?
Right. I mean, you're going to see it go down as the grades go up. Mm-hmm. Once people land places, they're going to stay, and the longer they're there, the less likely they are to move, would be my assumption. The one difference to that is where kids are naturally leaving. Most schools around here are K-5 schools. Mm-hmm. So if they're leaving anyway, it's another place where they think about change is moving in 6th grade. So we do get another kind of bump of applicants in 6th grade. But I think I would assume, I don't know, I haven't done a comparison, but I would assume that it's pretty typical for the waiting list numbers to go down as the ages go up.
As the grade levels go up.
The 3rd grade is interesting too, because we know one of the programs changes buildings, and I think that's kind of interesting as well, that the waiting list gets heavy in that area.
Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, I mean, just for the record, right, I mean, 660 is a nice, robust number, but I always say we are, you know, our mission is to educate children first and foremost, and so we always need to be super cognizant and aware of that as our primary mission, and as being a small state, it doesn't take much, right, for that number to dissipate particularly quickly with all the risks that we manage as a school institution on a day-to-day basis, right? So that's a great number, and that's awesome that we have that kind of goodwill, if you will, built up in the community, but we never really want to take that for granted, I guess is the message.
But another thing of interest for all of us from a data standpoint, don't we have that at 665 in our charter? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, that's quite impressive as well that the waiting list is also
Indeed.
So as a learning point, if we need to talk to one about this school, it is quite something to be proud of for all of us.
We have a new school on the waiting list. Not bad. That's good stuff. Thank you, Courtney.
So then the last page is a new data page that we're going to start tracking and adding. I cannot go back historically and pull this information, but I think I can only access current information without doing it kid by kid and being able to pull it. So we've started to pull it for this year, and we can pull it for next year as well to be able to just start to look at this, our characteristics of our students over time. So it's going to be a new one that we're going to add to this packet every June, kind of look through and understand and be able to look for some trends and be able to do that. So I wanted to start us thinking and looking in this direction as well.
This is also super, super helpful for our grants and things of that nature for what they request of us. Thank you for doing
that. I guess I thought DOE actually reported this data.
So all of our data is tracked. It is, but it's not. It's tracked differently in different systems. So when a family enrolls, they choose their race. We can only pull the current year as a whole group. So we could go back in and pull the enrollment for prior years, but we'd have to literally go kid by kid and track it out, and it would be, I don't think it would be accurate at the end of the day, because certain kids, we have kids that are in multiple check boxes. This is what we can see right now. So the reason I say to not pull from different sources is because then I know that we're seeing something that's the same over time.
Yes.
So as we start to move forward, I didn't want to pull data from different sources. So yes, there's one on there too, but I'm not positive that they're exactly the same data source. But it'll be one for us to keep tracking and looking at.
Now, this is very helpful, and I appreciate you including it in the report. You know, it's good for a lot of reasons, and one or two in particular. I know over the years we've had discussions raised by, multiple board members around diversity, et cetera, and this is one opportunity for us to really identify those trends, and I can wholly respect the fact that it's really difficult to try to pull historical data that hasn't necessarily been kept before. So this is great. I look forward to seeing this on a rolling basis.
Yep.
Maybe this is something Janine and if Mike were here, we could talk about. And obviously, Lauren, I know you've expressed interest in governance as well. Work with our head of school to maybe look at these things and hopefully try to talk about some and work with our head of school on how we can obviously increase some of these numbers as well. Tactics that work, right? We don't need to reinvent the wheel. So thank you very much for taking the initiative, Courtney, for putting this together. Was that the end of?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't want to cut it short.
Yep.
And I know we had listed as well the website report as a bullet point, our performance on DOE's website. I don't believe, I'm not sure if it's in our packets, but I know it was delivered as part of the board package. So if you have that, did you want to speak to that at all?
So we get a checklist every month about the requirements on the website. If we are missing something, we have 48 hours to address it. Sometimes somewhere along the road, one report doesn't show up where it needs to be, and if we have that, we add it on immediately. Right as of today, everything is currently up to date. They cited us for not having our May minutes posted as they haven't been approved yet. So after tonight, they will be posted, and then that will be addressed as well. So it is not typically one where we have many errors or red flags.
And you all may remember from our board training, it came up as one of the items that was a recommendation to be included in our board package for review every meeting. That was the performance report. I can tell you that it's something that we do get every month from DOE. It's something that I look at regularly. I thank our former board chair, Yvonne Nass, for really educating me on that during my time as vice chair and co-chair there. It was important. It's important. It's the DOE monitoring us to make sure that per our charter and per state standards that we are doing and hitting the reporting points that we're supposed to be hitting. And I can tell you unequivocally, if you go back and look at our record, we perform generally, to Courtney's point, very, very, very well. And in this instance, you will see, if you pull up the document for the most recent document that was in the board package, there's one non-meet standards, and that is related to the minutes that we approved this evening already. And those will be posted immediately thereafter. So we'll keep that ball rolling, and it will be a part of our report every month, our package every month. Courtney, any other stuff to report out ahead of school? Or we're good? Good, we're all set. We'll jump in and dive into new business. Then the next bullet point. And turn this over for the bullet points that you see there. I'm going to add one more bullet point after you're all done, Angela, to address just some changes at the board level as well. So, but I'll turn it over to you, Ms. Angela Anchor.
Thank you to everybody for making it a priority to be here last week for board training. It was really great to all be together, and I appreciated the coordination it took for everybody to make that night happen. And also, it gave us a great place to be, kind of like the start of all of us together and this, you know, working together as we move toward the new fiscal year and become the board that will be working on campus for next year. With that said, you should have all received, and I think we just received another reminder from Paul Stock, to please do your follow-up work for them, which is the post-training survey. That data will also be helpful and help us as a board to continue forward, because everything you answer, all of us answer there, they'll aggregate and then give us a report back. So if you would please take the time to do that. It is due by next Tuesday, and got a lot of stuff going on coming up here, but it's really, really, really helpful for us as a board to know where we are and where to begin from, because as we said last year, we were really focused on the capital campaign, and we were really focused on a five-year celebration, but we need to get back to the work at hand also and get back into committees, and as opposed to us all being on a five-year committee now, we need to go back into our regular committees. And with that said,
the survey does not take long.
Yeah, I think they make it scarier than I think. There's a time frame that makes it longer than it did take.
He wrote 15 to 20 minutes, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Real quick. Good. The other thing that he sent me, though, that I actually would like everybody to participate in and to do it, it'd be great if that's waiting for us, which is, might slow us down a little bit. But he asked for input about the training session, and I would actually really like everybody's input about the training session and what you thought was valuable and otherwise. So I think what I'd like to do, if it's okay with all of you, I'm going to kind of paste and copy his survey that he sent, just to a few of us, so that I want all of your answers, because I want to know what was worthwhile to you, what wasn't worthwhile, and they asked the questions in a way that if you guys can give me back the data, I can get back to him. So I'm going to let him know that I am sending that survey out to the board, and I'll set a deadline. I'll figure out what works, unless you guys have all gotten that too. The way he wrote it to me, I'm not sure if everybody got it.
Is it called workshop evaluation?
Yes.
He sent it to everyone.
He did send it? Okay. Yeah. So you guys have, so then do that one too. So did you just get two emails from him?
About two. Quarter of five and 5 o'clock.
Okay, awesome. The way he wrote the email to me, it didn't seem like everybody got it, and I was like, I think it's better to have everybody's input and find the value. So that's terrific. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I sent to Megan and Moore, just making sure that we're shored up. I think I have an old committee description, and I don't know if you have anything more current, but once we're sure of what the latest version is, that would be coming back out to everybody's attention. And my recommendation would be we'll get that out following this meeting. And then by next meeting, I'd like everybody to know what committee they'd like to land on. And we can talk about what committee work means at FSMA and things of that nature. Because we really were one committee that broke down the subcommittees last year, and then some ad hoc committees. And we'll come back to the way we work naturally as we start our new fiscal year. So if everything's good with that, watch for an email to come from Megan. that gives really good descriptions to have work written by the executive committee before this about what each committee is about so that you can follow your passions and, you know, deploy your talents there. And I think one thing I would say, though, is you don't have to just go with what you do for your work on our committee, because it might give you a chance to do something that you're really good at but you don't get to do every day in your profession. Like the first year I was on the governance committee, and I'm certainly far from what you would think would be a governance person, but I love operations, so that was a magnificent way for me to get to contribute that way and also learn a lot about how the board worked, because I was new to this board. So it's a little bit of advice that I would just give out. Just don't think because I do this for a living, this is the committee I need to be on. Follow your passion and do something that you love so that you feel like when you're working on behalf of the board that you're doing things that fill your bucket, and then you fill the FSMA bucket with that. It's a recommendation that I would make.
Do we have plans to, I know in the board training, the question of academic excellence team?
I think we need to look at the charter as it's written and see how we benefit the school without creating a ton of extra work for the school and make that come to fruition. So that we make it, I think in the past what seemed at odds was it didn't really, it was great to have it conceptually, but it didn't really have a purpose that would apply here. So now, how do we make it have a purpose that benefits the school and benefits the board and benefits the students and the community? So I think that might be one that executive committee should probably look at what that charter is and how it was written initially, and figure out how we do make that work if we're going to bring back to life. Is that not fair? And right now it doesn't have a chair, which it needs. So.
And I think that's also a huge part of it as well, right? I mean, it was, as we rolled it out, there was a lack of interest and participation, quite frankly, as well, too, which didn't help in the grand scheme of things. So I think it is something that needs to be revisited, particularly starting with the actual charge.
Right.
Like, to use Paul's language, right, it's the committee description, but then there's also the charge for the year. So I think as we talk about these things, that's in executive, that's definitely on the radar.
Yeah, and you know, one of the recommendations I will put forth to is we have to get back to a strategic plan, which you know, we've all worked together. We went into retreat, we developed a strategic plan the 2 years before last, and last year we all knew what the strategic plan was based on the 5-year celebration and the money that had to be raised, so we focused there. With that said, we need to go back and make sure that we develop the strategic plan with the board, and then each one of the committees is able to function at the So that's why it says, you know, great that we did the training, but now the real work begins. And I'm also looking forward to what input we give, all of us give individually to Paul, and your assessments of that training to also give some of that to the director. So I think that would be really helpful. Beyond that, as board members and responsible folks in the midst of, in the midst of being a part of the Delaware Charter Network, there is going to be the annual leadership summit, which is called School Leadership Teams and Board Members. And we have to save the date for everybody, so I'm going to send this around. And please take it, and please also, if you can. So if you can go, it's a great thing to go to. One of our
great, it's local this year.
Yeah, it's right down the street on the corner. So it's July 30th, and I believe it's a half day commitment, 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And you get back to home. But on top of that, we make some great connections along with some great learning by attending. One of our great benefactors actually came out of the summit. So you meet people and you learn things yourselves personally that you can bring back and apply here. But we've also made connections where people who didn't necessarily know about us fall in love with us and want to be a part of us. So it's another way for us to develop and grow.
Who hosts that?
The Delaware Charter School Network. post it. That's the other part of it too, it's a terrific way to learn about what's happening in the charter world currently, like up to the minute, because we've had, you get a great legislative report, you get a great overview of things to watch out for, of what's coming, and, you know, things that other schools are doing great, so we hear great business cases, and things we can learn from in other instances. So I really, really, really encourage you, if you can go, please do, I'll be there.
And just as a frame of reference for our newer members, that's Kendall Massett, who was in our training. She's the executive director for DCSA.
You will, and you will likely see Jim Taylor there as well.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah. So
they're really quiet.
Yeah. But he's, the things I asked him about at the end, about communication via email, like I learned all that by going to the summit. Like he did a terrific workshop on, you know, as a board member, what to expect and what to do and what not to do in order to make sure that you're in compliance. So it was really good. So I think those were all of the updates that I have. I do have, for each of you, I have a certificate of completion for your core training. If you need to frame it, put it on your wall in your offices or in your kitchen or wherever you'd like to. And I also have copies of them for the board book for you, Ms. Megan. So if we get called
into whether or not we're in compliance or not, we have a copy of everybody's. When we do our renewal, we always have to submit.
Submit
that. And board meeting dates, I think, was also a bullet. Do we want to just briefly touch on that, just for the record?
Yeah, I actually didn't have that on the agenda. Oh. I'm not sure who has it on the agenda, but we should definitely talk about it because we were talking about
That's
it.
That's right. So for the record, I know we have, we're going to go July 25th. It's our next board meeting. We are kicking around dates for August. I think right now the discussion has been no final determination, but with August 22nd being, was that parent teacher? Correct me if I'm wrong, I got the right title? Meet the teacher night for the new school year is August 22nd. We're eyeballing August 15th, but I think what we'll do is give a hard confirmation in our July 25th meeting. And then, of course, we've got September 26th, 2, 3, 4, which is the next four, is the fourth Thursday. And Megan, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're talking about maybe doing a push out on October, right?
November.
Okay, great. So 1, 2, 3, 4, that would be October 24th is the fourth Thursday. And then in November, the fourth Thursday is Thanksgiving. So I don't think anyone wants to be or will be here for Thanksgiving. So I know traditionally we will bump that out to like the first week of December. But again, we have a little runway on that, so we'll make a confirmation in our coming meetings. Fair enough?
We typically, though, as we start the fiscal year, should have a full calendar and
sure.
be able to post it because other meetings get built around
Indeed.
Number one and number two. It's good to notify our constituents.
So we have that runway to do in the next meeting or two, and we'll make sure that we have that.
We should have a strong answer the entire year.
Sounds like a plan.
What was the date for September?
26. Thank you. Okay. And one last bullet. I'm sorry, Angela, were you all set?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's good. So with that said, everybody should be able to confirm the meetings for the year and then we can mm-hmm. all put on our calendar.
Good.
Because one other thing I guess I will say coming out of board training is we also need to pay attention to our bylaws and the attendance rule that is in our bylaws, which states that two meetings missed
It's a discretionary provision, however,
right.
It can be overridden.
Right. But on top of it, if you know the dates a year in advance, we should make every effort to be at as many meetings as we possibly can, especially because we're super busy right now. So I just want to make sure that it is a year.
Very good. Really noted. Thank you. Angela?
Angela, I just wanted to thank you for handling the food at the training, and if you had any assistance, whoever that else that might be, thought it, you know, it helped make the session know, a good experience. And I know it's a lot of work, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
You're here.
We like to have a party, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
It was nice to be all together. I hope we have other opportunities to do the same.
Indeed. And last but not least, underneath new business, we received, what was it, 2 weeks ago? We received a resignation letter from our fellow board member, Chandra Gilmore. She's made it known that she would be just unable, due to personal reasons, et cetera, to fulfill her duties she felt underneath the, as a board member for the upcoming year. And she gave a formal letter of resignation from the board, and submitted that to myself, secretary, and I believe Angela, you were on there as well. So we acknowledge that, and obviously we wanted to make sure we wait for the next meeting to formally announce it and thank her for her time and service on the board up to date. And so obviously making sure everyone is aware as well. All right. That takes care of everything that we have right now on our agenda for public session. We do have executive session matters to address, so entertain a motion to move into executive session and second, and then we can make that motion.
May I make one last comment
Sure.
before we go away from that? Just as a reassurance, we are still well in compliance with bylaws as to the number of people that we have on board, and with quorum and things of that nature.
Yeah.
This resignation.
I'm actually going to propose, hopefully for the July 25th meeting, some resolutions to amend the bylaws to decrease the total number of directors so that we don't run into quorum issues, because technically she has a vacancy at this moment. Mm-hmm. And then there's one other vacancy actually still technically in existence at this point, because Beth's position was never filled. So at this juncture, I think, so we don't run afoul of quorum, we should make sure we reduce the total number of directors. If we find occasion that we need to increase it, we can always do that. But, and there may be some other little tinkers to the bylaws related to those things. But I'll try to get something together before the next meeting. But at a minimum, we'll deal with the quorum issue if I can't deal with the other tinkering things.
Thank you for being available and bringing that to our attention.
Excellent. So, motion to executive session?
So moved.
Janine Salamone, second.
Aye.
Angela Angeli, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? No noted. Motion carries. And we'll move into executive session at 6:56 p.m. Good. All right, everyone. It is 9:53, coming out of executive session on Thursday, June 27th, back into our public board meeting. I would like to hear a motion to approve and ratify the two votes with respect to contracts and one matter with respect to student matters, I should say, discussed during executive session. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Janine Salamone, is there a second? Sarah Stab with the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much. That ends up our public session. And I'd like to thank everyone for your time and your patience today. And of course, it was a solid meeting. And motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Jed Donahue, second.
Second.
Angela Angeli in a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? None noted. Motion carries. Meeting adjourned. 9:54.